speak to you tonight on the subject of the blight of bitterness. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that You'll bless us now. I ask, O God, that Your Holy Spirit will guide and direct us in these moments that we'll spend together. I pray that You'll take the message and apply it to our hearts. Lord, I pray that this will be a real learning session. And dear God, there are folks sitting in this room that need this message tonight. And I pray, dear God, that You'll just work on our hearts. Bless us now. For Jesus' sake I ask it. Amen. Now, how would you characterize bitterness in a person's life? The Word of God speaks specifically about how bitterness continues to grow into other things. But bitterness itself, I mean, just the characteristic of bitterness, how would you characterize that? Well, I think probably it'll manifest itself in several different ways in a person's life. Let me just make a few suggestions to you. First of all, bitterness can characterize itself through open hostility. Somebody that'll be hostile. Somebody that's characterized by a critical nature and a critical spirit. Somebody that seems to be resentful and they are ready to throw up a barrier of resentfulness. Somebody that's always fault-finding. Now, that could be some of the characteristics of a person that has the root of bitterness. And may I say this? They may not even know it. You may be sitting here tonight and you may have the root of bitterness. Fertilized, nurtured, and healthy, if the root of bitterness can be healthy. But I'm talking about in a negative way. You may just be cultivating tonight the root of bitterness, and it may characterize itself in hostility toward other people, and many times hostility towards those that are closest to you, hostility towards a husband, hostility towards a wife or a child or a mom or a dad or some associate that you work close to. But hostility, it may manifest itself in a critical nature and a critical spirit. It may manifest itself in resentfulness, and when you see a certain person, or when they have conversation with you, or when they bring something to your attention, immediately resentfulness comes up in your mind, and fault finding. Now, there's another characteristic, or there's another type of person that I believe characterizes someone that has the root of bitterness, and they're not always critical and caustic and things like that. This is the person that I would call the crybaby. And they have a crybaby attitude. They are sad about things. And real soon I'm going to preach on Wednesday night on the sin of sadness. And it is a sin. It is a sin to constantly go around with a sad countenance. And there's many, many verses in the Scripture that bear that out. I'll tell you something, if you know that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life and you're on your way to heaven, you ought to be happy and not be sad. So there are those folks, and they're crybabies. And they're sad, and they're filled with self-pity and melancholy. And they're always complaining about how others have things and have situations, but they do not. And then there's a third category of people, and these people are characterized by just a coolness in their attitude. They stand a little bit aloof. It's as though they're constantly holding a hand out and saying, "Now don't press me. Don't expect anything of me. Don't get too close to me. Don't make demands on me." They give the impression of being disinterested. Now, that is a false impression. They are not disinterested. They are interested, but they're interested in the wrong way. Their fault-finding does not come out openly, but in their heart, they have fault-finding, they have a critical nature, they have a critical spirit, but they hold it in. But the way it manifests itself is that they just hold people off. It's also characterized by a person being uncommitted. They will not make commitments. They will not go into any further binding ties or relationships. Now, sometimes they say, I don't want to get real active in the church. And one of the reasons that they say that is because they may have been hurt in other close relationships, husband, wife, parents, children, so on and so forth. And so they said, I'm just going to be standoffish in everything. I'm not going to make commitments. Now, there are basically three things that I want you to see tonight. First of all, I want to remind you of the three categories, I think, of the root of bitterness. The person that's hostile, critical, resentful, fault-finding. And then secondly, that kind of person that has a crybaby attitude, sad countenance, self-pity, melancholy. And then thirdly, the person that is cool and aloof and disinterested and uncommitted. May I suggest to you that there's the possibility there's somebody here tonight. And yes, you're a child of God, but you're a sour saint. Or you're a caustic Christian. Or you're a bitter brother in the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, I want you to give consideration to the root of bitterness. The root of bitterness. Now, that root of bitterness, it's going to manifest itself towards somebody else. Look back over, if you will, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, and lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. Now, anybody that's got a root of bitterness, it's going to trouble them. But notice it takes itself further, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, when somebody's got a root of bitterness, it will reach out its roots into their life, but finally it'll reach somebody else. They may be bitter against God. They may blame God. I've known people, since I've known Jesus Christ as my Savior, that have blamed God for their lot in life. God, why did you put me in this situation? God, why did you let this thing happen to me? Now, sometimes they're not open about it, and they're not brazen about it, but when they will reveal that root of bitterness, sometimes that person will be honest enough. And by the way, I want to tell you this. It takes an exceptional person to recognize and then to admit that they've got a root of bitterness. It takes an exceptional person to say, that's it, that's my sin. I've been harboring bitterness. I've been carrying around this root of bitterness. There are not many people that do it. There are not many people that will face up to the fact that they have been harboring the root of bitterness. But I've talked to some, and after a conversation or maybe spending some time with them, the truth would come out that they have been angry with God. God let this thing happen. God let their child die. God, why didn't God straighten out our marriage? Why didn't God take care of this situation? And so they become angry at God. Now, it could also just manifest itself in life in general. I'm bitter with life, and I'm just living my life out, but I'm not happy with life. I'm bitter with what life has given me. Sometimes it's against a spouse, a husband or a wife. That's why the Bible tells us over in Colossians chapter 3, verse 19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. There's the possibility that a husband can become bitter with his wife, or a wife can become bitter with her husband. Now, what is this root of bitterness? What is it? May I just say one word to you, and this is sort of the foundation of the root of bitterness. And by the way, what I'm about to tell you, there's nothing you can do about it, because it's going to happen to you. In other words, this foundational thing is going to happen to every one of you. Now, it is dependent upon how you treat it as to whether it will manifest itself in a root of bitterness. Here it is. Listen to me carefully. Hurt. Hurt. You're going to get hurt. I mean, somebody's going to hurt you. Now, when you think about hurt, it's going to come in one of two ways. It'll either come with intentional or unintentional, but you're going to get hurt. Sometimes people will hurt you intentionally. But I want to tell you this, when they hurt you intentionally, if they are callous enough to do that, they are probably callous enough to go home and lie down on their bed and go to sleep and not worry one bit about it. And you know what you're doing? You're at your house pacing the floor and festering about the hurt that has come to you. Now, there are others that may hurt you unintentionally. They may hurt you unintentionally. Turn over, if you will, in your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 for just a moment. And I'm going to refer back to this a little bit later on. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and look at verse 5. Verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. Now listen to this. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now where is that stronghold? Where is that satanic stronghold that the Bible says that carnal weapons cannot tear down that stronghold, but spiritual weapons can tear down that stronghold? Where is that stronghold? Where is Satan's citadel that he can get a stronghold over you? I'll tell you where it is. It goes on to explain it very clearly. Look at verse 5. Casting down imaginations. Now, where does that imagination come from? That's your mind. Now, listen to me. You're going to get hurt, but the question is, how are you going to handle it when you get hurt? You're going to get hurt. Somebody's going to hurt you. It may be unintentionally. It may be intentionally. It may be a husband. It may be a wife. It may be a son. It may be a daughter. It may be a mom. It may be a dad. It may be a relative. It may be a preacher. It may be a fellow Christian. Somebody's going to hurt you. What are you going to do about it? Now, what you do about it is going to determine whether you have the root of bitterness that will begin growing in your life, or whether that hurtful experience can be another stepping stone in the maturity of your spirituality. That's what it's going to be. Now, notice that he said, pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. May I suggest to you that bitter people do not deal in a constructive way with their feelings. They don't deal with a constructive way with their feelings. They fan their feelings. They fan that bitterness. They fan that anger, and it grows and grows and grows until they become fault-finding. And you know what I found out? I have found that if you find a fault, you've usually got to be looking for it. You know, when folks come into this church on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, and I've seen it down through the years, some of them can come in and they'll meet me at the door afterwards and they'll say, why wasn't this or why wasn't that and why wasn't this? And somebody else will say, boy, God really blessed today. Now, you know what it all, what determined that? What they were looking for when they came in. And do you know something? You'll find a whole lot more precious things in your relationship if you'll look for those good things. But many times when people fan that bitterness, they start looking for the wrong thing in the people that they're dealing with. And let me also make another suggestion to you. According to the Scripture that we have read, look over, if you will, in Hebrews chapter 12. And verse 15, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Hey, I want to tell you something. The worst in you will usually bring out the worst in somebody else. And sometimes that root of bitterness that we have brings out the worst in someone else, and then Satan has got the perfect tool to confirm the bitterness in our heart. In other words, we get bitter, that other person reacts, and they become bitter, and we sit there and we say, I knew it was going to be like that. I knew that's the way it was going to happen. When the truth of the matter is, our bitterness just carried over to somebody else. Now, there are usually three things that a person will do with the root of bitterness. Number one, they'll deny it. They'll say, that's not me. No, sir. No, sir. There's some other problem. Or And another thing that they'll do, they'll try to disguise it. They'll say, that's just my temperament. Or that's just the way I am. I want to tell you something. There's never a reason and there's never a justification for a child of God to be unkind. That's why I said Sunday night, I want a bunch of folks, I don't care who you are, I want you to keep your nose out of my preaching. I'm the preacher around here. And brother, if somebody needs to be scolded, you let the preacher do it. God doesn't mean for the average church member to go sticking their nose in somebody else's business and try, hey, let me tell you something. If you're a Sunday school teacher or whatever you are, you stick to preaching and teaching the blessed Word of God. If somebody needs to be exhorted or rebuked, you let the preacher do it. I'll tell you what, they'll take it a whole lot more kinder from the preacher than they will somebody else. And so, there are some people and they try to disguise it. They just say, that's the way I am. That's me. And when the truth of the matter is, they may be harboring a bitter spirit. And then thirdly, they just completely try to disregard it. They just completely slough it off and say it won't matter. May I say this to you? There are people that have missed a wonderful, blessed, precious life that God has intended for them because they've held on and they've said, look, I don't drink liquor, I don't do this, and I'm going to preach a message on it sometime soon. And I've been studying it for the last several days. But do you know something? Satan doesn't care how he makes you sterile. And I'm using the terminology, of course, of bearing children. Satan doesn't care how he makes you sterile. Somebody might say, well, I tell you what, that liquor drinker there, he's not going to win anybody to Jesus. Neither is somebody that's got a root of bitterness. You're not going to win anybody to Jesus either. You say, but I tell you what, I've given out the Word. God's used the Word, but that doesn't necessarily mean He's used you. God's just seen fit to use His blessed Word. Satan doesn't care how he makes you sterile. Satan can make you sterile through a liquor bottle, or Satan can have you teaching a Sunday school class with the root of bitterness. But if he keeps you sterile, then Satan has done his work in your life. And so there's the possibility that people deny that they've got the root of bitterness, or they try to disguise it, or they disregard it. Most of the time, here's what they'll do. They'll blame it on somebody else. Hey, if I understand the Word of God correctly, there's nobody in this world that can ultimately affect me adversely except me. If I understand the Bible correctly, there hath no temptation taken me but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not suffer me to be tempted above that which I am able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that I may be able to bear. I'm just simply saying to you that the most subtle trick of the devil is to try to blame the root of bitterness on somebody else. I found this. I went to my psychiatrist to be psychoanalyzed, to find out why I killed my cat and blackened my wife's eyes. He put me on a downy couch to see what he could find, and this is what he dredged up from my subconscious mind. When I was one, my mommy hid my dolly in the trunk, as it follows naturally that I was always drunk. When I was two, I saw my father kiss the maid one day, and that's why I suffer now from kleptomania. When I was three, I suffered ambivalence from my brother, and so it follows naturally that I poisoned all my lovers. I am so glad I have learned the lesson it has taught, that everything I do is somebody else's fault. Now, brother, I'll tell you what, when somebody's got the root of bitterness, that's usually what they want to do. It's his fault. It's her fault. It's somebody else's fault. I not only want you to look at the root of bitterness, but I also want you to see the fruit of bitterness. The fruit of bitterness. Now, according to the passage of Scripture that we read in Hebrews chapter 12, you'll notice look at it with me if you will once again. And verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, I think you can see its effect on two people. Yourself. Yourself. It'll first of all mean personal trouble. I have read, and I've read it through numbers of times, and it's been one of the most blessed books to me. But S.I. McMillan, several years ago, wrote the little book, None of These Diseases. And I have enjoyed reading it several times, and in S.I. McMillan's little book, None of These Diseases, He says that there are at least 50 physical problems that can be directly attributed to a person's emotions. At least 50 physical problems that can be directly attributed to a man or a woman's emotions. In other words, how they handle their anger. How they handle their feelings towards other people. He's saying that there are people that are sick because of their emotional instability. Now, let me just read you something that I found in S.I. McMillan's book, and it was such a blessing to me. Let me tell you something. How you handle the root of bitterness, it'll affect you physically. But it'll not only affect you physically, it'll affect you emotionally. And then it will affect you spiritually. But listen to what S.I. McMillan said, and I think that you can probably relate to this. Hey, listen. There may be folks in this room tonight, and you say, I'm glad I'm not a slave to liquor. I'm glad I'm not a slave to tobacco. I'm glad I'm not a slave to pornography. But I'll guarantee you, if you've got the root of bitterness, you are a slave. You're a slave to the person that controlled your feelings. And you don't control your own feelings. Somebody else is controlling them for you. That person that you have anger towards, that person that you've got resentment in your heart towards, that person that you're holding off and standing aloof to, that person is controlling your feelings. Now listen to what S.I. McMillan said. The moment I start hating a man, I become his slave. I can't enjoy my work anymore because he even controls my thoughts. My resentments produce too many stress hormones in my body, and I become fatigued after only a few hours' work. The work I formerly enjoyed is now drudgery. Even vacations cease to give me pleasure. It may be a luxurious car that I drive along a lake fringe with the autumnal beauty of maple, oak, and birch. As far as my experience of pleasure is concerned, I might as well be driving a wagon through mud and in a driving rain. The man I hate hounds me wherever I go. I can't escape his tyrannical grasp on my mind. When the waiter serves me porterhouse steak with French fries, asparagus, a crisp salad, and strawberry shortcake smothered with ice cream, it might as well be stale bread and water. My teeth chew the food, and I swallow it, but the man I hate will not permit me to enjoy it. And then King Solomon said, and look over at Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 17, I think it is. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 17. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. Solomon said you'd be a whole lot better just sitting down and eating a bunch of grass and having love there rather than having porterhouse steak with Kobe beef where there is strife and unrest going on. Now, I continue reading this quote by S.I. McMillan. The man I hate may be many miles from my bedroom, but more cruel than any slave driver, he whips my thought into such a frenzy that my inner spring mattress becomes a rack of torture. The lowliest of the serfs can sleep, but not I. I really must acknowledge the fact that I am a slave to every person on whom I pour the vials of my wrath. The root of bitterness. And then the fruit of bitterness. Turn over, if you will, in your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And I think beginning with verse 30, Ephesians chapter 4, and verse 30, hear the word of God says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now remember that the book of Hebrews teaches us that the root of bitterness will trouble the individual. But also the Bible tells us that the root of bitterness defiles many. You know, back in South Carolina, we had what we call wisteria. Here, in this part of the country, they have what they call kudzu. And brother, you can see that kudzu, and maybe you're driving along the highway someplace, and just yards after yards after yards, that kudzu vine is growing over everything. Now, I want to tell you something about that kudzu vine. It starts off with just a small root, and then it comes up and it goes up into the different trees. But you know what it does to those trees? It blocks out the sunshine from those trees. And sometimes those trees become unhealthy because of that vine just covering them up. And I'll tell you another thing. The kudzu vine, as well as the wisteria, it gets some of its nourishment not just from the soil, but it gets some of its nourishment from other trees. The kudzu and the wisteria are both parasites. They are parasite vines, and they feed off of other living trees. And I want to tell you something, the root of bitterness is just like that. The root of bitterness, as it cankers in somebody's heart, it'll reach out, listen to me, to somebody that may be weak. Somebody that has not gotten the principles of God's Word down in their heart to say, I'm not going to let somebody else influence me. Maybe they're a young Christian. Maybe they're a Christian that's not taught in the Word. But I'll tell you something. It may be that the root of bitterness will rub off on that person and they'll become defiled by the same thing. Now here's how it works. Look, if you will, at Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 31, let all bitterness, now remember that the Bible says it's a root of bitterness. And there comes the time when the root of bitterness springs up. But at first, the root of bitterness, it's unnoticed. It's underneath. There's nothing that you can see about it. Let all bitterness, now notice this, wrath. Let all bitterness and wrath, that hostile feeling. That feeling that something's wrong between me and that person, the person that's got the root of bitterness, and now it's manifesting itself in wrath. And then anger. Now there's a difference between wrath and anger. The word wrath in the Bible and in the context of the Word of God, it's sort of like it's smoldering. You know, you take some rags, and maybe they are oily rags, and you put those oily rags in a closet, and maybe they get ignited some way, and they'll just sit in there and smolder. You know what they'll do? While they're smoldering, they'll take up all of the oxygen. And because there is no oxygen, it'll just sit there and smolder. But when you open up the closet door where those rags have been smoldering, they'll burst into flame. And that's just exactly what it means when the Bible speaks about that wrath. Now, the bitterness is there, and the underlying wrath is there. Now, listen to me. Suddenly, somebody opens the door, and what happens? Then there is, wrath, and then there's open anger. And I want to tell you this. Sometimes the open anger far surpasses the incident that just happened. Let me explain what I mean. Some little thing happens, and that person says, leave me alone! I don't want anything to do with you! Now you say to yourself, what in the world happened? What did I do to make them blow their stack like that? What did I do to merit something like that? Hey, I want to tell you something. That thing had been smoldering for a long time. And it may not even be against you. You may have just been the one that opened the door. And the bitterness and the wrath was there smoldering all along. Now then it finally comes to anger, open hostility. And there is an open breach between the people. Notice further now. Let all bitterness and wrath, that smoldering hot feeling, anger, that open hostility, and clamor. Now, that word clamor, that's the same thing as yelling. That's where it's gotten to now. This bitterness has been there, And where did the bitterness come from? The bitterness came from an unresolved hurt. And there was an unresolved hurt there. And that hurt was not cared for. It wasn't taken care of. And it continued to smolder. It continued to smolder. And it got hotter and hotter and hotter. And some incident or somebody opened the door and it became open hostility. And then it passes from open hostility to clamor to yelling. I wish I'd never met you. I wish I'd never come to this church. I don't like you. Stay away from my children. I don't want you to have anything to do with me. It's past, and I want to tell you something. It didn't happen right then. Brother, the seeds of that had been sown long time ago. And it has just now produced itself into what the Bible calls clamoring. Now notice this, evil speaking. It passes from that rage of clamoring and yelling, and now it becomes an ongoing evil speaking. An ongoing evil relationship with one another. And then finally, and I shouldn't say finally because many times the Word of God puts things in tens. You'll find many times in the Bible where it speaks about sins and how they continue. It's in tens. And thank God, God didn't put it in here that they finally started beating each other. Or they finally started trying to ruin each other. But that's the way, that's what it comes to. If it isn't stopped, then they finally come to the place what the Bible calls malice. And malice means that I actually want to hurt them. I want to hurt them. It started out with bitterness. It went through the process of that smoldering kind of wrath. And finally it came to the surface in open hostility and anger. And then it got to the place of clamoring where there were words that were said. And then bitter words. Ongoing bitter words. And now there's malice that says, I want to hurt them. I want to hurt them. Listen to me. Now you be honest with yourself. I told you this a little while ago. It will take an unusual person to see that you've got the root of bitterness in your heart. But you be honest with yourself, because it's important. You be honest with yourself. Is there anybody on the face of this earth that you know of that if something went against them, if they got hurt, or if something happened to them, or if their finances reversed, or if you found something bad happening to them, would you get any kind of secret glee out of it? I tell you, if you would, and if there's somebody that you can think of that if something were to go against them, or if something were to happen to them, or if in some way they were to get hurt, or if their finances would reverse, or you'd see that maybe you heard that their marriage was having problems, or something like that, and you'd get a certain amount of ghoulish glee out of it, then you have gotten through several stages starting from the root of bitterness. The root of bitterness. Now, I have suggested to you that there is the root of bitterness, and it all starts with how are you going to handle a hurt? How will you handle a hurt? And then I've also said a few things about the fruit of bitterness. Now let me finally say something about the pursuit of bitterness. Turn back over, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 12. And verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness. Now I'll tell you something. Listen to me. You're not going to be as healthy physically as God wanted you to be if you've got the root of bitterness. You're not going to be as emotionally stable as God wanted you to be if you've got the root of bitterness. Because if you've got the root of bitterness, someday, some circumstance, or somebody is going to open the door, and that smoldering experience that's in your heart is going to flash up. See, the Bible says the root of bitterness springing up. It'll come up quickly. Quickly. It'll spring up just like that. And some circumstance, someone is going to open the door, and it's going to spring up, and you know, here's what I worry about. Somebody says, well, I'll tell you what, you know, I'll blow my stack, but I'll cool off later and folks, you know, I'll settle it up. But I tell you what, a lot of people blow their stacks right into divorce. Sometimes folks blow their stack right into running their children away. Sometimes folks blow their stack right into alienate mom and dad. Sometimes folks blow their stack and sever their relationships with friends that could be friends with them throughout a lifetime. I just simply say this, that if you've got the root of bitterness, you're not going to be as healthy as God wanted you to be. If you've got the root of bitterness, you're not going to be as emotionally stable as God wanted you to be. And here's one thing for dead sure. If you've got the root of bitterness in your heart, you are certainly not the spiritual person God wanted you to be. You say, I don't drink. I didn't say that. It said you have the root of bitterness. You say, but I don't smoke pot. It doesn't have anything in the world to do with it. I said that if you've got the root of bitterness, is there anybody on the face of God's earth that you cringe at spending any time with on your part? Say, but they don't like me. It hasn't got anything to do with you. Say that they said bad things about me. Doesn't have anything to do with you. Brother, I'll tell you what, if you've got the root of bitterness out of your heart and you've got a clean heart, I mean, they can cuss you to your back, but you can stare them straight in the face and shake their hand and say, hiya. If you've got it clear in your own heart. Clear in your own heart. Now, notice what he says here in verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness. And now in verse 15, he's going to talk about the root of bitterness, and they are in direct opposition to each other. You can't have holiness and the root of bitterness at the same time. You can't do it. You can't have holiness and the root of bitterness at the same time. Now, look at what he says in verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness. You know what you got to do to it? You got to look for it diligently. Boy, I see folks sometimes out in these pretty manicured yards. And man, they'll be out there on their hands and knees with that little old hand spade. You know what they're looking for? They're looking for that root of crabgrass. Or they're looking for that root of wild onion. Man, they're looking for it. There it is. I got it! Would to God that God's people would be as careful about looking for festering, smoldering things in your heart that could possibly spring up. Not only, let me just give you three things we ought to do concerning the root of bitterness. Number one, recognize it. See it for what it is. Say, preacher, I tell you what, I'm just a little hot-headed. No, the plain old simple truth is you got the root of bitterness. Say, preacher, I just speak my own mind. No, the truth of the matter is you just got the root of bitterness. Say, but preacher, you just don't know how I'm provoked by that person. Makes no difference. The truth of the matter is you just got the root of bitterness. You just got the root of bitterness. Root of bitterness. Root of bitterness. Number one, recognize it. Number two, remove it. Dig it up. Confess it. Get rid of it. Hang it up before God. I mean, you take that thing out and you hang it up before the Lord. Lord, I've had bitterness in my heart. Go to that person. Tell him. I've had bitterness towards you. I want to get it right. Hey, and that's it. That's it. It doesn't make any difference what the other person does. You, as a child of God, are wrong if you are harboring the root of bitterness. Yeah, you say, they murdered. I don't care what they did. He said, they did this to him and that to him. It doesn't make one bit of difference in this world. Amen? Am I preaching the Bible? It doesn't make any difference what they did. If you're fostering it in your heart, you are cultivating, you're fertilizing, you are watering, you are germinating the fruit and the root of bitterness in your own heart. You ought to recognize it and you ought to remove it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. And then let me finally say, replace it. Turn over, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Let me just pause here. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, tonight? Some of you do. I mean, that thing sitting there, it's sitting there just like a root that's digging into you. And man, every time one of the tentacles of those roots gets around another area of your life, you say to yourself, what's happening to me? Where did the songs go? What's happened to the joy? What's happened to the victory? You know what you're doing? You're turning around and you're saying, it's their fault. It's their fault. You're just trying to cast away. It's their fault. Boy, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing tonight with the aid of the Holy Spirit of God? You and the blessed Spirit of God got a hold of that old root tonight. I'm going to get you out of there. And boy, just feel, whew, I can breathe again. Man, I'm happy again. Notice verse 32. Be kind one to another. Kindness is active. That's deeds. Be kind. That's kindness is never passive. Now, forgiveness is passive. But kindness is always active. Now, is not that in conjunction with the evil speaking, the malice? Hey, you know what that's talking about? Somebody do you wrong, you do something good for them. Be kind to them. Kind to them. Listen to what he says. Tenderhearted. Boy, that old hard heart that says, I don't care. You know what they've done. I don't care. I know what kind of people they are. I don't care what she's... I don't care. It just doesn't make me any difference. And the tender heart's gone. Kind. Brother, I tell you what. Somebody asked me one time, said, Brother Lancaster, how, and God only knows, if I ever thought that I ever mustered up a tear in this pulpit, I'd want God to kill me. I mean that. I mean it. I've heard people say, well, such and such a preacher, he can get about halfway through his message and just sort of punch the button and start crying there. I'll tell you what, that worries me. That worries me. And if I ever get to the place where I can just stand up and tell a little old tear-jerking story and tears come to my eyes and me start crying and say, that's how it can happen. I want God to kill me. I don't want to be a hypocrite like that. But I'll tell you why tears do come many times. I look out in the faces of people. And remember, I can look out sometimes in the faces of people that were and maybe still are drunkards and harlots cussing and liquor drinking and everything like that. And I look out in the faces of those people and say, God forgave me, and I was just like it. Just like it. And I say to myself, hallelujah! I've got a good forgiving God. A God that loves me and cares for me. Brother, that'll keep your heart tender. I'll tell you what you'll get. If you got what you deserve, you'd split hell right open, buddy. If you got what you deserve, you'd be there with the whores. If you got what you deserve, you'd be there with the Hitlers. If you got what you deserve, you'd be there with the murderers. But God, in His mercy, He saw fit to forgive us in spite of our wickedness. He loves us. What does He say? Be kind, be tender-hearted. And then He says, forgive one another. And the basis that He uses it on is because God, for Christ's sake, forgave you. Forgive others. The root of bitterness. The fruit of bitterness. And then the pursuit of bitterness. Brother, you better pursue it. It'll sterilize your life. It'll blow out the candle of joy. One of these days you'll get to heaven and you'll open up those doors there and you'll see the 10,000 pleasures that He had for you while you were here on this earth. And you might say, what happened? And God says, I couldn't do it for you because you harbored the root of bitterness. I wanted to do many things for you. But I couldn't do it. I couldn't go against my holy nature. And because you were harboring ill feelings and because you had an unforgiving attitude, because you wouldn't go to that person, I didn't give you those things, but they were there for you if you had gotten rid of the root of bitterness. Let's bow our heads and pray.